إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, yesterday I saw this book called 100 Inventions that Muslim Inventions, oh I think it is the same mention, yes, Muslim Inventions which changed the world. There's also a wonderful exhibition by that name, and I strongly recommend that you all go see that wherever it is. I think it started in San Francisco. I saw this exhibition myself in Kuwait, and absolutely wonderful, very inspirational, and something that is really worth seeing. I think the history of a people is very important for those people to remember. Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, if you want to destroy a people, remove them from their history, or something to that effect. He said, make them forget their history, or change, let them be disconnected from their history. It's like cutting off the roots of a tree, or rather, for those who know some botany, it's like ring barking. For example, if you ring bark a tree, then for a while the tree is still green and so on, but it's dead. It's effectively dead because you have cut off the xylem and phloem veins, and so the transpiration, the photosynthesis of the tree stops. The starch has nowhere to go because it can't go down into the roots, and the water cannot go up into the tree, so the tree eventually dies. Ring barking is something that is done deliberately to kill trees. It's also something that animals which eat the bark, elephants do that quite a lot because they eat bark and they destroy. If you go to places where there are large elephant herds, in Kruger, for example, the big Mopani forests have very big elephant herds, and you see long stretches of forest of dead trees. And they've died because the bark got stripped. Samar also do that in India. Certain trees where they like the bark, they strip the bark from as far as they can reach it. So effectively they have ring-barked the tree, and then the whole tree dies. The reason I'm saying that is this is what happens with history. When we forget our history, we forget who we are. We forget our connections. We lose our honor, we lose our self-respect, we lose our whole self-concept, self-esteem, because all of this is based on history. History is of two types. There is personal history, which is your own personal family, as well as yourself, your own life. And secondly is, of course, the collective history of the Muslims themselves, what we have done, or our ancestors have done from the time Rasulullah walked the earth. So it's very, very important for us to remember our history. And so this exhibition of 100 inventions, that Muslim inventions that changed the world, I think it's a very good exhibition to see. I strongly recommend that. But I'm also, when I'm saying this, I'm also remembering my state when I finished seeing the whole exhibition. I had tears in my eyes. And the tears in my eyes were not because of the exhibition itself, but because of us today. You know, if you're looking at somebody or some people who never really achieved anything, and there are, I'm not going to name anybody, but there are many tribes and there are many people in the world, different parts of the world, who never really achieved anything. Their contribution to global civilization and to humankind at large is zero. They never contributed anything. On the other hand, you have people, say, for example, like the Greeks and the Romans, whose contribution to global civilization is alive and well and continues to this day, 2,000 years or more since they lived on the earth. So we've got different kinds of people. Take ancient India, for example. The contribution of ancient Indians to global civilization is unquestionable. I mean, it's an amazing contribution which they did. So the point is that there are people who have done nothing. And so if today, if you find that they are doing nothing, you can say, well, you know, I mean, they never did anything. So what do you expect? But if you are looking at people who have made the kind of contribution that Muslims have made to the world, and if you look at our current state, then you definitely have to ask some questions. And those questions are going to be uncomfortable, and that's the nature of things. All change is by definition painful. So let us look at things today. For example, if you look at the sky, and those of you who are interested in astronomy, 60% of the stars and planets in the sky have Arabic names, have names which are rooted in Arabic or which are Arabic. Now, that's not accidental, and that's not because the world loves the Arabs or anything like that. It's because they mapped the skies, and so they gave the names to the stars. 60%, and that's a huge, huge, huge contribution as far as in just one area of science, which is astronomy. And of course, if you look at these 100 inventions, you will find a Muslim contribution in practically everything, from printing to surgery, to medicine, to flying, aviation, you name it. I mean, all kinds of things that Muslim inventors invented and they did. But then if you look at the Nobel Prizes for science, I'm not talking about the infamous Nobel Peace Prize, which is the less said about that, the better. I'm talking about Nobel Prizes for science, which are fact-based, not propaganda-based. So, if you look at Nobel Prizes for science, in the last 110 years, which is from 1900 to 2010, you will find that Muslims got only 3 Nobel Prizes. And one of them was shared by another person, so it's like 2.5, right? Question is why? So what happened? Now here we are looking at inventions in the 12th century, 13th century, you know, those times. And then you are looking at a period of darkness, which is inexplicable. And you say, well, why did that happen? And the answer is very simple, which is because we did not capitalize on our own inventions. I was seeing a video, rather macabre video, of liquefying a human body. They called it a liquid crematorium. So the thing was that instead of burning the body, you liquefy it. And then there's this doctor who's explaining that whole process, and he's, after having liquefied this body, all the flesh, everything else gets liquefied, the bones remain, and all other stuff in the body remains. So he was showing a stent that is there, and somebody's filling from somebody's tooth, and all of this. And I was thinking to myself that today there is a... We are on the 2nd of January, so quite predictably, there was this huge furor among the Muslims about whether you should say Happy New Year or you should not say Happy New Year. Now, I'm not talking about celebrating the New Year or, you know, having a New Year party or cutting a cake or, you know, drinking and dancing all night, obviously. I'm just talking about saying Happy New Year to somebody, or somebody says Happy New Year to you and you say thank you, same to you. Big furor. People saying this is haram and you should not do this, and you know, my New Year is the first of Muharram and the Hijri calendar, and all of these people who are making all these great arguments do not have the sense to understand that one is a lunar calendar, the other one is a solar calendar. Both the sun and the moon are the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what makes one calendar superior to the other? Absolutely nothing. Number two is, Rasulullah himself never used the Hijri calendar because it didn't exist. The Hijri calendar came into being in the time of the Khilafah of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. So in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was no Hijri calendar. Right? The months were used arbitrarily by the Arabs. The Arabs actually used the Roman calendar. Those months they used arbitrarily as they needed them. And that's exactly why, for example, the whole confusion about the date of birth of Rasulullah, for example, or the date of Mi'raj of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nobody denies the Mi'raj of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's part of our Aqidah, we believe that. We are absolutely delighted and very, very, very happy for the fact that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala sent His Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam amongst us. But if somebody says exact date, the reality is we don't know. And the reason we don't know is because they didn't have a proper calendar at that time. Right? Now, here there's this huge argument about, should you say Happy New Year or not say Happy New Year? My point is, look at this, the amazing gravity of the discussion that we have. May Allah forgive us for wasting our time in stupidity. But the point I'm making here is that here we have a situation where even those people who say all of this, saying Happy New Year is haram, we say, okay, fine, we agree, we accept with you, we will not say Happy New Year. If we said it, we will make two rakat of salah and ask tawbah and so on and so forth. But answer this question. The message that you are sending, Happy New Year is haram, is sent on a phone which is made in the West, which is not Muslim. It is sent using an app, WhatsApp, which is not Muslim, which is made by somebody who was not Muslim. If you are wearing glasses, those glasses and that technology is not Muslim. If you take the glasses off, you are blind. If you have done laser treatment, LASIK, and you have changed your corrected your vision, that technology is not Muslim. The car you drive is not Muslim, meaning that it was not invented or created by Muslims. When I say not Muslim, don't come back to me and say, well, how can the car be Muslim? I'm talking about the people who invented that, right? Every single gadget that we use, every single tool that we use, the stents in your hearts, the fillings in your teeth, the glasses on your eyes, every single thing today that we use is Western and it is not Muslim. If all these people who make all of this noise, then they should really say, I will not use anything unless it is Muslim, and then they will have to quietly go sit somewhere and die, because there is nothing that they will be able to use and nothing that they will be able to do. It might actually be a great blessing, because then they can't use WhatsApp and they can't create confusion everywhere by sending nonsensical messages. But the point I'm making is that this is the reason for this is because we have used our past. We are not disconnected with our past, but we are disconnected in a way. We are not disconnected in terms of just knowing it, but we are disconnected in the way that we have not used it. So here we have a glorious past in terms of science and technology and invention and knowledge, but we have done nothing to leverage that, to use that, to follow in the footsteps of those great people who gave life-changing tools to this world. To the extent that even if you look at these exhibitions and so on which are created, these are really Western oriented. I mean, these are created by Western people who are acknowledging their teachers, and they're saying that these were the people who gave Europe the Renaissance. These are the people who fueled and who gave the energy to the Western world to develop science and technology. So this is good for them, that they're acknowledging their teachers. But what about the people who consider those teachers to be their ancestors and their forebears? What about them? What is it that we must do? And look at what we do. We have the most inane and the most stupid arguments on which we spend all our time and energy and emotion. We create divisions amongst ourselves on the basis of our ignorance. We excel in being ignorant and stupid, and we will not work and we will not pursue the reality of knowledge, where we will not go and we will not sit and study. Think about the two things. One is, here is a bunch of people, the Muslims, who created a lot of inventions and so on. Here is another bunch of people, which generally, broadly speaking, Europeans, who did not create those inventions, but who had the humility to go and learn from those teachers and to take that knowledge forward. Who are the real followers of those people? Tell me. Is it people like us who did nothing with their knowledge, or is it people who did not believe in the religion but who took that knowledge and who developed it to a point where today all of those inventions, if Ibn Firnas was alive today, imagine how happy he would be to see an A380 in the air. How happy he would be to see a Boeing 747 in the air. Imagine, here is a man who discovered or invented or theorized the principle of flight, and then he sees this aircraft which is several hundred tons, which is flying in the air. Imagine how delighted, how happy he would be if he could see what is happening today. And then he would ask, who are the people who built this? Are they Muslim? Well, we say, sorry, they're not Muslim. Right, have nothing to do with Islam. Now, this is the point I'm making, that I think it is high time that we get up off our sit-upons and stop talking nonsense and stop arguing about nonsense and start doing something worthwhile, which is to pursue knowledge, which is to think and to be critical to ourselves and change ourselves. As I said, all change is painful, and it begins by being willing to listen to something which you don't like to listen to. This is one of the biggest problems. People come and ask you, they come and tell you, please come and speak at our function. And when you go and speak there, they all get very offended because, oh, you criticized us. They say, you should have told me, I'm sorry, I apologize. You should have told me that please come and praise us. And I would have come and praised you. No problem, alhamdulillah. I would have come and praised you. I know I'm lying, but it doesn't matter. What does it matter? The whole world lies, right? So you should have told me. But you didn't say that. You said, please come and advise us. Please come and tell us the truth. And when you speak the truth, people are offended. Well, I frankly don't care, because I'm not looking for any vote from anybody. But I'm just saying that really and seriously, ask yourselves, do you really want change for yourself and for your coming generations? And if the answer is yes, then get ready to take your ego, throw it in the garbage bin, and listen to some facts about yourself and bring about change in your life. And you, I don't mean anyone personally, I mean you, meaning me and you together as the Muslim Ummah. We need to be able to look in the mirror and look at that face in the mirror and say, this is ugly, we need to change that, and let's go ahead and change that. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَ الرَّحِيمِ